kids, Lord. Bless them in that time of reprieve. And Lord, we are here. We are here to bring you honor. So as we prepare our hearts to move into your word today, we say all distractions move aside. And the things that are of your heart be established in this house. Not only in words that go out, but words that have life in our actions, Lord. And we honor you. Move me out of the way. We do, Lord, this morning, George Parson was going to bring the word today. And he got in a very bad accident. But, Lord, you are restoring him and keeping him, Lord. So bless him. Continue, Lord. First of all, we thank you that he's all right. He's all right. And we say in the name of Jesus that healing come quickly, Lord. And we look forward to hearing that sermon that you put on his heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I'm going to have a sip of water. You say, Pastor, that's the biggest sip I've ever seen in my life. Thank the Lord. Well, I'm excited because we begin a new series today that's entitled Come. And the message today, the title of today's message is The Power of Come. And I tell you, in this time in which we live in, we need a lot of what? Come. We need the power of come that comes from the liberty and the freedom of Christ living in us. And then I have a very important question to ask you. Are you a calm person? You know, we'll let some other people answer that, right? Are you a calm person? And one of the things that I thank God so much about, he makes us all unique, doesn't he? So we may not be wired to be super calm, but one thing that's so important, we must understand the value of the power of calm. Because sometimes people look, when people chill out, sometimes people look at that as a weakness. But it's one of the greatest strengths to be able to stand in difficulty and maintain, say it with me, calm. Calm is a powerful ability. How do you remain calm when chaos surrounds you? Because we all have been there. We've all been in the drama. We've all been in places and situations where things want to steal our calm. And then here's the other thing that we have to be so guarded about, is that calm can be undone by what is called don't push my what? My button. Don't push my button. Because we sometimes will justify losing the calm because somebody, what? Touched that button. But the power of calm, regardless of what our temperament is, we must be able to embrace that power whenever chaos comes to try to steal it. Has remaining calm ever saved you? Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. Think about all the different things in life that you've been through. And has being calm ever been the instrument that God used to actually save your life? Now, I have two examples I want to share today. One's really embarrassing. The other one is, it made me feel so good afterwards. The other one I'll tell you about as well. But I used to be a youth pastor. And one of the things that I've always loved to do, whether being a youth pastor or a pastor, I love seeing people's gifts have a field to live out and to be utilized. So one of the things that we did in our youth group, we would do musicals, and we would tour them throughout different parts of the United States. And one was a 2-week journey. And one thing I learned through that, don't take teenagers away from mom and daddy for over 2 weeks. Because when we were driving down the road, sometimes I would hear some sniffles. And this is after about 8 days. And I would look in the rearview mirror, and some of the girls were just crying because they were homesick. But we had a great time. But here I am in this van that is, I think, 16-passenger van, and a huge U-Haul behind it carrying all of the equipment for the musical. And we're doing probably 65 down the interstate, and all of a sudden I hear an explosion. And one of the front tires blew totally apart. And I'm sitting here at that moment realizing I got all of these lives in my hands. I got this huge U-Haul with all this equipment behind me pushing me forward. And I'm thinking, if I put on those brakes too hard, we may flip. No telling what's going to happen. And so I just asked, because I'm a nervous person. You say, I know that, Pastor. I was like, God, help me stay focused on what to do. And it seemed like slow motion kicked in. You been there? And it was like God just said, keep it on the road, son. Keep it on the road. Keep it on the road. And that thing was going all, you know, and God allowed us to keep it on the road. And I was able to pull into the emergency lane. And all of a sudden, if they could, it would have been a standing ovation. They started clapping and cheering, saying, you know, giving me the heads up. But it wasn't me. Or giving me encouragement. It wasn't me. It was God. The calm that came. Now, I want to tell you one other situation that almost took my life. Or put some serious hurt on me. I was about maybe 19, 20 years old. And I was living in Rochester, New York, dating my precious wife, then my precious girlfriend. And I was working for a construction company. And I've always said I love learning about construction, and they never gave me a good title. I was always the helper, all right? It never gave me carpenter or even carpenter's helper, just you're the helper. I said, okay, I got it. I'm learning. And this man that owned this company had taken an old pickup truck and had built these plywood sides really high and made it where it could be the dump truck, the trash truck. And that was my job, was hauling a lot of the debris and going to the dump. You ever been to a dump before? If you haven't, I'll never forget this. Going to the dump, huge landfill. In Rochester, New York, and I'm hearing this sound that I grew up hearing during the summertime when my family would go on vacation. And it was this familiar song of a bird. And I'll go into this place, and there's seagulls everywhere. And then all of a sudden, my attitude towards seagulls all changed. You know, because I thought they just like the beach. They're scavengers, right? And it was loaded down with seagulls. And so we would load that thing up to the hill, and then he would say, I want you to pick up some lumber. And we would put the lumber on top, so you had all of this weight on the top of this truck. So I'm going down this country road, two lanes, winding roads and hills, and I see my friend coming about half a mile down the road. And I'm thinking, I'm going to mess with him. So I took this truck, going, Drayson, probably about 55 miles per hour. I took this truck thinking I was going to be funny, and I kind of cut into his lane. You know, he was way down the road. I was just messing with him. I cut into his lane. I didn't say it was right to do. And then I said, yeah, cut in real quick, and then I cut back. And the next thing I knew, I wasn't controlling the direction of the truck anymore. That weight started shifting, and he passed on by, and here I am thinking, I'm going to die, playing a bad joke on a friend. And that truck started going side by side. Thank God there was no other trucks or cars coming. And by God's mercy, by staying calm, I was able to get back in the right lane. So calm is important. Calm can actually save your life. Followers of Christ should be the most calm people in all the world. No excuse. No excuse. We, as believers in Jesus Christ, should have, for lack of a better term, a corner market on calm. And there's a lot of reason for that. And I want to look at this. But then you say, Pastor, you didn't grow up in my home. Or, Pastor, you don't have the kind of temperament that I have. Our temperament and our family environment will affect how quickly we find the power of calm. Now, let's be very blunt and honest. We learn norm from our families. And that's why there's such an important role of mama and daddy. Because mama and daddy set a standard, whether we want them or not, to follow, that our children will learn from. And a lot of times, mirror. And so in our situation, we also recognize we have temperament that is wired differently, as I said earlier. And that's okay. It's okay to have people that are a little bit more fast-paced, little bit more sensitive, because I believe God uses all of us uniquely with these unique gifts. We all don't want to be so super mellow, right? But we thank God that we do have some super mellow people, right? So it all balances together. But here's the thing. If I grew up in a home where chaos would break out like that, that's no excuse for me to follow that example. It's no excuse. And there's a power that's even greater than the influences that we grew up around. And that power is God and His Holy Spirit living in us. And here's the thing about calm. There's a contract to calm. Let me put it that way. There's words that we must follow about being calm. And it's called the Word of God. We don't get to make up our interaction with drama and just do what we feel is best. God has established a direction for us to follow. Do we miss it? Yeah, we miss it. But when we miss it and recognize it, then we can learn from when we were not calm, when God asked us to be calm. And there's not a soul that has never lost there's not a soul that has ever lived without losing their calm. Remaining calm is a command from God. You believe that? So show me some scripture, Pastor, and I'm going to show it right now. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. What do you think God means when He says, do not be? Do not be. Do not allow your being to possess this attitude. And it's what He's saying. Do not be anxious about anything. So the opposite of calm is being what? Anxious. Now let's be fair about this. Some of us deal with anxiety tougher than others. And God understands that. So basically, when anxiety comes and our calm is exiting, we're reminded, God says, don't stay there. Don't let that be the countenance that you walk in. So do I lie to myself? No, you don't lie to yourself. There's a steps that God has provided. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So here's the step. Everything, talk to God about it. That's when we get in trouble, when we exit God from the actions. So anxiety comes, the first thing is tell God about it. Now, have you ever met someone that says, enough is enough, I don't want to hear another thing about it? You been there? Well, that isn't God's countenance. It's not. God says, tell me about it. Talk to me. Because sometimes we have a limit. That's enough. I can't hear any more about that. But God says, tell me about it. But in everything by prayer and supplication, meaning that if it's a concern to you, it's worthy of calling with supplication unto God, repeating the heart's cry. consistently giving to God the request that you have. And that's the thing, when calm begins to leave us, it's intense and it's very troubling. But God says, pray, talk to me, keep bringing it before me. And then here's the sign that we're following his advice. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Now think about the last time anxiety had you full force. Where was our thanksgiving to God in the middle of that? I would say most likely it was a flip. Instead of thanking God, we were, oh, woe is me. Worry, worry. Trouble, trouble. And God says, no, these troubles and these challenges in our lives, God has allowed them to be there, and thank him that you're going to learn something through that journey. And I know that sounds too simplistic, but it's not. When we stop thanking God, we are full force under the influence of anxiety. And think about this. When was the last time we honored and gave true thanksgiving to God? We do that during worship and praise, but God wants that to be something that we continually do throughout our day. And again, it's this thing of perspective, having God's perspective. And then don't make it known just to brothers and sisters in the Lord, which is good to share burdens with one another. We need to talk about it. We need to air things out, but make sure the first person that you talk to is God. And then verse 7 tells us this, and the fruit of all of this, and the peace of God. Can we say thank you for your peace, Lord? Because what is calm without peace? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. And let's say these last three words together, in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to turn this in reverse for a minute. If we are not in Christ, and what does it mean to be in Christ? Be seated in the attitude and the actions of where he's called us to be. Because the problem is, if we get out of being in that relationship with Christ, we give chaos free reign. We give anxiety free reign. And a sign, again, of not being in Christ is losing the ability to walk in the power of calm. And we go further. What happens? If we are not in Christ, what happens to our minds? If we are not in Christ, what happens to our hearts? They begin to be filled with things that God never intended to be there, and trouble builds time and time again. What happens when we're not in Christ? We are what? Unguarded. God's mercy and grace protects us, but if we willfully walk out of his covering, we're walking away from the guard that he's intended to be there for us. And then what happens to our understanding? We perceive this life not with the wisdom that he gives. Even his wisdom is so great, when we can't figure it out, it comes and it settles us. Can you say thank you, Lord, for that? Because we want to figure things out. But sometimes that guard of God says, just, I'm going to give you peace. Just relax. Don't worry. It's going to work out. But how? 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 Well, just relax. God has you. God has you. And so if we are not in Christ, our understanding becomes our foundation that we lean on. The peace of God is exited. We will not make known to God the things that we are weighed down with. Requests will be made to others or to ourselves. Thanksgiving will not be given to God. Supplication will be more about our concentration of how we're going to figure a way out of this. And prayer is stopped. Because prayer is not some formal exercise. Prayer is a relational interaction with the one who you know formed you and made you. And with all of these steps of not being in Christ, we invite anxiety to come. So here, When anxiety rushes in, what source do you depend on? I'm going to ask that again. When anxiety's coming for you, when calm is gone, what source do you rely in when anxiety's rushing in? And I want you to answer that in your own way. Because some sources are good, some are extremely negative, but the foundation must be God. Amen. And I'm going to ask you a question this morning. When you need to calm down, what do you do? Now let me bring that back around. When you need to calm down, what healthy things do you do to chill? Pray. And then what are some things that flow out of that calmness that God gives? And I'm going to throw this one out. When anxiety rushes in, what source do you depend on? Who here, when it's been a tough day, and you feel God's peace, but you just want to sit and relax. Who here enjoys, especially as the weather's getting cooler, enjoys a nice mug of hot cocoa? Anybody here appreciates that? Yeah, I see. Cam, you are the most excited, so I want you to come and stand right here a minute. Kamel, which I like to call Cam, come stand right up here, Cam. All right. Stand right here and just look out at the folks. Let them see you. Stand here where everybody can see. Stand right over here where everybody can see. And look out at everybody here. So here, Cam, I hear it's not just cocoa, but it's chocolate milk too, right? So this is hot. You can hear it. That's yours. Hot cocoa. And I want you to think about this, man. Doesn't it just kind of calm you down when you say cocoa, right? But stand right there. It's not complete without something else that's kind of marshmallow, right? So you ever put those on your hot cocoa, Cam?
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, and there's one other thing that you need. And so Mama can have some of this too, because I know, and this is just for to complete the set. Let's give him a hand. All right, Cam. All right, you can be seated. All right. When anxiety rushes in, what source do you depend on? What is your path of calm? And here, Psalm 34:4 tells us this. You are welcome, Cam. Psalm 34:4 reminds us of where calm is found. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. I think that is at the core. Is fear is the thing that stirs up what? Anxiety. And it's almost impossible. Well, let me put it this way. Calm and fear do not mix. Unhealthy fear. I think there's this element of wisdom that will alert us, but it doesn't control us. And like when that van started going out of control, was fear coming in? I respected what could happen, and I stood up and took attention. But fear did not paralyze me. God brought a supernatural calm that guided me through the storm. And right now, as the psalmist says, I sought the Lord. He what? He answered me. He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. How does God answer you when you call out to him for calm? How does God answer you in the chaos and you cry out to him for help? How do you hear from God? And without a doubt, God brings a peace that settles our mind and our heart. So when the mind is troubled and we call out upon God, he responds by settling our spirit by his power within. He is a God who answers. Now we may want some solution to the problem, but God will answer with a sweet calmness upon us. And the completion of that answer may come down the road, or the answer may be something that we never fully understand. But God will step in with his peace and cancel that anxiety with his sweet presence of calm. We see this. The calm that God gives us is a confident calm. It's not weak. It's not one that is easily overcome. It is a confident calm. And we see this in Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. You keep him in, let's say that together, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Trust in the Lord forever, for that foundation will never fade. It will never fail. Again, you keep, not the circumstances, not people around me, you keep me in perfect peace, whose mind stays where? On the Lord. Because he trusts in you. The one under the challenge of losing their calm, being overwhelmed by anxiety, the one that trusts in the Lord, God will provide the needed peace. A trusted calm, a calm that will last forever in his presence. Now, we know this. There are things in life that are called like earthquakes. How often do we ever think about how solid the earth is? Right? When do we really question the stability of the earth? During an earthquake. And some of us maybe have gone through earthquakes that are stronger than others. But here is this consistent foundation that we live with all of our lives. And then it begins to shake and tremble. And at that moment, we begin to question what can really happen. And the same is true with our spiritual life. Here, we've trusted in God for all these seasons. And then an earthquake, emotional earthquake occurs. And at that moment, what we've trusted in as calm is gone. And then we're tested to see who we really rely on. And I promise you this, throughout my journey in this life, the times of the sure foundation were not so clear as when there was no earthquakes. Really didn't think a lot about it. But when the emotional earthquakes arose, and I saw that when everything else around me was shaking and trembling, I wasn't standing in my ability, but I was standing upon the rock, the Lord. And when chaos was going on, and I didn't fall all the way down, it reminded me that God is going to be faithful no matter what comes against our calm. And that's a promise from God. He can be trusted. We can give him praise. We can clap to him. Yes, Lord. He is a stable foundation. Remaining calm is a power that God gives, not just some believers, but he gives all followers of Christ. And here I want to just prove it to you. You ready? You know Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 shows a list of the fruit of the Spirit. I want to focus in on three of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, and that is peace, patience, and self-control. Now, if we had to rely, Robin, on our ability to generate peace, it would be a sad life. For people everywhere are seeking peace through so many different sources, but if it is generated through their own ability and the substances of this earth, it is fleeting and it will not last. That's why people that have anything they want that do not have God never find true peace. Because true, consistent peace is found in God. And it's not something that we earn or we somehow get to this place where, yeah, I got it. No, peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit in you. The peace is the source of the Holy Spirit in you. How do I know God's Holy Spirit is in me? His peace is in me. Is it challenged at times? Yes. Do people push my buttons? Yes. Does my flesh rise up? Yes. But whose peace remains in me? Because the peace of God overcomes any anxiety in its own timing. Because even struggling with anxiety is a course of learning how to trust in God more. And then this powerful word here, patient. Patience. Now, I've shared this before. My son, my youngest son, Austin's got all the patience. In fact, it gets me mad sometimes how patient he is. And that was God's gift to him. Dad, I'm a little bit more, you know, not as patient. But the source is what? Not us. The source is the Holy Spirit. So what happens whenever I'm challenged to lose calm, and my lack of patience begins to be dominant, what does it do? Pop, pop. It reminds me. Snap to it. I've called you to walk in patience, but I don't want to. It's not an option for a follower of Christ. Let my patience seed itself within you. Let my patience rise above the flesh that wants to take control. That's good when that happens, right? You just feel that strength rising up and putting us in proper place. Because he's created us to be vessels of patience. And then I've always wondered, and we talk about this a lot, the fruit of the Spirit of self-control. Calm is all about being what? In control. Anxiety is all scattered, and it even manifests through our outward appearance. It can even have twitches and things that can manifest. But calm settles and allows us to breathe and have perspective. It takes self and puts it under the control of the Holy Spirit. We as people don't like that term control. And I'll tell you why we don't like it. Because there's so many men that want to try to control us, right? But there's a man, and I'm talking about that flesh, that is more vicious than any other, that is unwilling to set down and let God have the control. But when the Holy Spirit shows up, you know better than me, God. In fact, you gave me a new heart that doesn't operate with that old man. And your self-control comes and allows me to be calm when chaos surrounds me. Church, the fruit of the Spirit is a complete calm. And I want to just say this for a minute. It's not called the fruits of the Spirit, is it? It's called the fruit of the Spirit. And just as a simple man, it's always kind of confused me. I'm like, well, I see all these. Why isn't it fruits of the Spirit? And there's a reason. Because God doesn't want us to have one without the other. Because we are one. The Spirit is one. And we don't segment the characteristics that we don't jive as well with. And so that's the beauty, is that God's going to cover us with the fruit of the Spirit that covers all those aspects and characteristics. And then a fruit of faith. If what I have is real, not artificial like we talked about last week, if what I have is authentic, a fruit of faith is a supernatural calmness that flows from the power of God's Holy Spirit within. And I want to read that one more time. A fruit of faith is a supernatural calmness that flows from the power of God's Holy Spirit within. Now, church, I don't want to be a bearer of bad news, but I also don't want to be unwise. In our land, called the United States of America, chaos is forming and setting its armies against us. Okay? And we don't know what this next year is going to bring, do we? We don't. And as I've always said, well, as I focused in on this craziness that's going on right now, is that we must be guarded about the voices that lead us, okay? Because when chaos seeds itself within a nation, it raises up commanders to lead that chaos. And we, as the church, cannot be deceived, or we must not be deceived by the voices that work their will against us. Okay, so I've said all that to say this. What are we going to do when the chaos comes? Are we going to join in the chaos? Are we going to let the chaos lead us and instill the calm that God has given? Because this is the promise. If things break apart in our country, God's calm is able to remain in us as his believers. And I would even say this, it must remain in us because he's called us to be light in the chaos and to be the salt of the earth. Now, someone mentioned to me this about salt. The salt of the earth, right? There's a lot of power in salt. There's a whole lot of power that is not there without salt being mined out of the earth. And I don't have all the elements on this, but power is found within that mineral. And without salt, we do not live very long. So here, God says when the chaos comes, and if it manifests in ways that history has shown us, it's going to be okay, church, if you will remain in the power of calm. And I promise you this, though we will be tempted to view things in multiple manners. The Holy Spirit will allow us to see truth if we continue to seek God first. So when the world comes to divide us, tries to destroy us, if we walk in that way, destruction will be the fruit. But if we remain calm under the wisdom and guidance of God, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It may not look the same when we look around our country. It may look totally different. But we're going to be what? All right. And we're going to be calm. So I look forward as we continue in the study of calm over the next number of weeks. And I would ask that the Lord strengthen us and pray that chaos won't come. But if it does, we will be seated right in the power of moving forward and helping to be a light and helping to be salt to help people in this time. If we can stand to our feet this morning as we call on the strength of the Lord. Do you want God's calm today? Do you want it? Just invite that liberty. Invite that liberty of the Lord in your heart today. I want you to know these altars are open. There's a time of prayer, if our prayer team can be available. And as we move into this last song today, and I'm going to ask Austin after he sings this song of praise to the Lord, the congregation sings that at that right time, if you'll close us out in prayer as well, Austin.